That sounds, ooh, it is life. If you can open up your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel 34, our first reading. It's great to be here in the city of Christchurch. It's funny seeing the little ones adapt. One of the big changes for us is actually moving to a city. You know, down the road, they used to go and feed the horses quite often. Actually, Asher would feed the horses, but her sister would hold her jumper at a long distance and claim that as feeding the horses. But we had a great time in rural life. We're just adapting to the city. We're stopping kids. They are traffic lights. Those little things. This morning I've been given the task of outlining my view of ministry. What is ministry? And in order to do that, I want to take you to a trip to the country, a place where I'm probably a little more comfortable at this stage. And I want to take you back in some of the dark days of Israel's history, as God's people have been taken out of his land and they're now in exile in Babylon under King David. It's tough times for them. And during this time, while they're in exile, the Lord has placed the priests. The priests had a unique role, and they were to be the shepherds of Israel. They were to look after God's people. They were to feed the sheep. That is, they were to teach the law. And they were to care for and look after the individual members. They were to look after the flock. And the passage that we're starting to look at together, Ezekiel 34, we actually see the Lord actually looking at his people, holding the sheep and looking into their eyes, seeing his loved ones, his heart is broken. His heart pains for them. Because the priests, that is the shepherds of Israel, those who were entrusted with the flock have not just neglected their responsibility to teach the sheep. It's not just that they neglected their responsibility to take care of each of the sheep. But in their harshness, they have driven the sheep away to the hills, to the nations, and they are now scattered. They are helpless. They are left for the wolves. So through the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord's anger is expressed as he rebukes the shepherds of Israel. Have a look with me for the first four verses of Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds. You clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost, but you have ruled them harshly and brutally, saying, look at you, you fat shepherds. You have fed yourselves, but you've not fed my sheep. And here we actually see the Lord's heart, his love and concern for his own, as his heart is broken because he's sick. He longs for them to get looked after, but they're not. His heart goes out for his weak, all the vulnerable, that they'll just be looked after. Or all those that are lost and are stranded. Verse 5, as a result, the sheep are now scattered. They are left as food for the wild animals. Skim down to verse 7 and verse 8. Because his rebuke continues against the shepherds. He is furious with them. But look closely at verse 9. It says, "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them." Hear what he's saying here? He's saying, I will intervene. I myself, I'm going to come in judgment. You shepherds, I am against you. I'm going to hold you responsible, and I'm going to remove you. And secondly, I'm going to rescue my flock from their mouths. If it wasn't clear already, listen to this amazing news in verse 11. Who does he say will come? It's an awkward phrase in the original. It's repeated three times. It's I myself will come. The sovereign Lord, Yahweh himself, will come and will search for his sheep, and he will look after them. Verse 12 to verse 16, he says, I will rescue them. I will gather them. I will bring them out of the nations, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will tend them. And they will lie down in rich pasture. See, these words in Ezekiel 34 are words of rebuke. And he says to the shepherds, what on earth are you doing? See, your job was to look after my sheep, but have a look at yourselves. How fat you are. You've neglected your responsibility. You've neglected my sheep, and now they're scattered. Look what you've done to my people. I myself am going to come, and you will taste my anger. But to the sheep, he's saying, I've not abandoned you. I will come to rescue. I myself am going to come and gather you. I will bring you out of the nations. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to gather you home. And just imagine what these words would have sounded like to those who are feeling crushed. God's people who are under foreign rule. But not only that, they are under corrupt priests. And they hear this message, that God himself will come. He's going to judge, but he's going to look after his sheep. He's going to search them. He's going to bring them home. Hope you brought your running shoes this morning. Yep, everyone's checking. Yep, you've got your running shoes, because we need to run close to 600 years through history. We need to run through history to a time that's actually recorded for us. In John chapter 9. Okay, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 9. We'll get to chapter 10, but firstly I need to show you John chapter 9. Because this is a wonderful section when Jesus has just healed a man. This man who was blind from birth. He'd never seen daylight before. And Jesus heals him. And he can see. And he's over the moon. I was about a 7 or 8 year old when I first got glasses. The trip home from the optometrist, I remember it well. But Mum remembers it especially well because she called out to me a number of times. I didn't hear the first couple, but then she said, "Are you okay in the back?" And I was sitting in the car and she was worried about me because I hadn't said a word for ages. I didn't say a word because I was stunned, absolutely stunned. I'd never seen like that before. We were in traffic and I was looking at these things called number plates. Never seen them before. They were amazing. You could see them everywhere. You could see actually the leaves of the trees. Wow, look at that. Wow. Imagine this guy. He had never seen in his life. Jesus opens his eyes and he is ecstatic. So he goes out and he tells his neighbours, this guy healed me. And the neighbours went and took him to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, Israel's shepherds. Have a look what happens. Verse 15. The Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied. And I washed, and now I see. Come down to verse 18. But the Jews did not believe that he'd been blind and that he'd received sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say who was born blind? How is it now that he can see? The parents' response. We know that, yes, he is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But how he can now see? Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age. Let him speak for himself. It's a very strange response from the parents, isn't it? Verse 22, we see why it's a strange response. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be taken out of the synagogue. Verse 24, a second time, they call this blind man, this man who was blind. Well, why is it now that you can see? And he keeps speaking about Jesus, the Christ. Skim down to verse 33. He's talking, if this man was from God, he could do nothing. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, see how they respond? They said to this poor man, you who were steeped in sin from birth, how dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. The Jewish leaders. Can you hear the echo? The harsh rulers. The sheep are scattered. Can you see Jesus' response there? Verse 35. Jesus heard that this man had been thrown out. And he went and sought him. And when he found him, he spoke to him. And what we get here from verse 35 all the way through to most of chapter 10 is Jesus' speech with this man as well as some of the Pharisees who are around. And Jesus teaches and he uses illustrations of sheep and shepherd and robbers. And he explains who he is and who the Pharisees are. Chapter 10, verse 6, they don't really get it. He uses this great analogy and they don't really understand. So Jesus starts explaining again. He starts explaining again and then he says this phrase. Chapter 10, verse 11. Please look at it with me. He says this phrase. It's the awkward phrase. He says, I am. I am the good shepherd. The same phrase from Ezekiel 34. Hear what Jesus is saying here. God himself will come. That's me. I am the good shepherd. I will gather. I will seek. I will bind up. I will feed my sheep. I will gather my sheep. I will bring my sheep into pastures. the good shepherd who was promised, that is me. I am the good shepherd. He says this in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And then he says something that is new. How is he going to achieve all this thing? How does the good shepherd work? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We had lots of fun times in Armidale, heading out to the farms. I had the privilege to spend a little bit of time with friends' properties out there, and just, it was great fun. Admittedly, I got to do it for half a day. They do it as their job, and it was hard work for half a day. But it was great fun, sensational. You jump on the motorbikes, and wah, 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 flying around and yelling at the sheep, and the dogs are on the back, slobbering all over you. We had a ball. It was fantastic, and it was great, the farming life. But we need to be clear here that farming these days is so different from the farming of the first century, of olden times. Because these days, what do? You've got a massive mob of sheep. And you sort of round them up. You chase them from behind with bikes or dogs or horses or whatever. But back then, the shepherd used to lead with his voice. And the sheep would follow. It's very different. These days, there's giant mobs. Back then, the shepherd knew every sheep. Every single one of them, intimately. It was very hands-on. The shepherd used to carry a pouch, and he would have little strips of cloth. If one of his sheep fell and scratched their leg, he would drop to his knee and bind him up. Yeah, at night time, he used to gather the sheep into like a thicket, you know, a big semicircle of bush. And at the narrow entrance, he used to guide his sheep in, and then he would sleep at that narrow spot. So if the wolves were to come in, they would have to get through the shepherd. See what Jesus is saying here? He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So in order to spare the sheep, so that they are not mauled and destroyed, he lays down his life, he actually gives his life. And it's because of the love for his sheep, the good shepherd gives his life. It's a very clear picture here in John's Gospel of what will happen in the days and weeks ahead when, as you follow John's Gospel, what do we see? We see the good shepherd who on the cross sacrifices his own life for the sake of his sheep. I want you just to zoom in at verse 12 to 15. Because here Jesus describes himself in contrast to the leaders of the day. He says they're just the hired hand. They're not the good shepherd. They're not really shepherds. They're just a temporary labourer, a hired hand. When they see the wolves coming, in fear, they run away. Because a hired hand, he cares nothing for the sheep. But listen to the contrast. But there's the good shepherd who actually owns his sheep. They are his. And when the wolves come, he doesn't run away in fear. We see that in John's Gospel. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. And he hears the attackers come. He sees Judas and the soldiers and some of the officials and the chief priest and the Pharisees come. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. And in fear runs away. But the good shepherd, Jesus actually stood up and went out and met the attackers. In love for his sheep, he actually laid down his life gave his life for his sheep. Verse 16. We need to listen to this because it's wonderful news for us. Because we need to hear what he's saying here. Jesus, the good shepherd, he's talking about giving his life for his people. But in verse 15, 16, we see the wonderful phrase that as he gives his life for his sheep, what is he thinking in his mind? That he's giving his life for his sheep and they're not just the Jewish people. But he's already thinking about giving his life for all his sheep, which is not just the Jews, but includes the Gentiles. People like me. People like many of you who are scattered across the world. He says, I must gather them in also. I must seek and save the lost. I must bring them all. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Do you see what's actually happening amongst us today? See, Jesus isn't dead, but he's actually been raised from the dead. And the good shepherd is actually alive and he continues to do his work of shepherding his flock. See, right now, the Good Shepherd is doing his work of gathering and seeking the lost sheep, of calling the lost sheep home. Do you see that? Have you experienced this for yourself? See, this is why I chose this text to outline my view of ministry, because it teaches us that primarily it's not all about us. It's not about us and what we do. So it's not about, you know, Wally did this, or Kim Gracie ran this great course, or Pete thought of this idea, or Al and Sarah did these great things, or at St. John's we did this. See, it's not about us, but ministry is about him. He is doing his work amongst us. How does he do his work amongst us? He says, they too will listen to my voice. See, his word goes out. I'm not talking here of sort of mystical mumbo jumbo, or I think that might be God talking to me. But when his word goes out, when his gospel, the message of Jesus goes out, he is at work. And he is seeking, he is gathering, he is rescuing, he is calling home his lost sheep. Do you see that? Have you seen this thing? Have you experienced it? You know, have you ever been there and heard the Bible talk and you're sitting there going, this word was actually written for me? Have you experienced that? Just over a year ago, I had the privilege of heading over, and we're in a place which was on the border of Rwanda and the Congo, over in Africa. And over in Africa, there's some fantastic preachers. Some of them are very colourful characters with these massive hand gestures and banging things. It's great stuff to watch out. But this guy, he was actually very nervous. He was quite a shy person, and he was nothing special. And he stood up, nervous as anything, before a whole bunch of people and spoke just simply and clearly. And he spoke about the holiness of God, who God is. And he spoke about sin, how we have turned our backs on God. And people listening were actually struck and they were convicted that they themselves with a lost sheep. They were listening to this stuff and they were going, that's me. And then he talked about Jesus' death, how he laid down his life so that you can be washed. And people listening going, he has washed me. He has spared me from judgment. Says Jesus calls you home. And that afternoon, 153 adults and teenagers for the first time put their trust in Jesus and followed him. Have you heard the words of the Good Shepherd? Are you there listening and you hear this thing? You hear God speak to you through his word each week and you know it's true. You might be tempted to ignore it or try and push it away. Jesus says these words, "My sheep, they listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I want to be clear here that the role of the Good Shepherd isn't just seeking the lost. But the Good Shepherd is doing his job of actually shepherding his flock. It actually includes binding up the injured, strengthening the weak, looking after the sick. What does this look like? Just a very quick example. It actually happened just outside. It was after church the other week. I had a very encouraging conversation with a Christian mother who was feeling quite tired and worn out. To be honest, it's a hard job. She's feeling weary, discouraged, and a little envious of others. But that morning, God's word was taught, and the Good Shepherd was doing his work. Mark 1 was preached, and this mother was reminded of the importance of her ministry to her kids. And she was encouraged to persevere. And she was spurred on in the great work that she's doing for the kingdom. See what was happening? That through his word, he was doing his work. The Good Shepherd was caring for his sheep. Well, what is my view of ministry? What's my view? Well, the scriptures teach us that ministry isn't primarily about what we're doing, it's about what Jesus is doing amongst us. He is the Good Shepherd. He is calling the lost. He is tending his flock until he will bring us home, where we will lie down with him in rich pasture. It's not all about us, but it's about what he is doing amongst us. This is true. But as Wally mentioned earlier, it's only half of the story. Tonight we're going to look at the other side, and that is that in his mercy, he actually chooses to work in us. That's an amazing thing. He chooses to work in us and through us, just normal everyday people, to bring about his purposes. That's what he's doing. Please join me as I lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that in love, Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. That on the cross, Jesus died in our place so that we might live. Risen Lord Jesus, we beg you to continue to do your work amongst us. In our church at St. John's, in our city Christchurch, in our country New Zealand, and across this world, please continue to do your work of shepherding. Through your word, we ask for mercy and that you gather in your lost sheep, and that through your word, you care for your sheep. Amen.